earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe is very pertinent. I believe it is timely. And I believe, as I see it, that we as Christians, conservatives, and patriots need to cease being silent. The question is, the issue today, should the church comply? Should we comply? We as a church, should we comply to the culture today with the immoral practices of body butchering, the transsexual, transgender surgeries that's going on, approved and pushed by the Biden administration, and even paid for by most insurance companies today? So should the church comply? Should the Christians embrace the practice? Is it immoral? Is it unbiblical? Is it unholy? Or is it simply demonic? Just as just before the top of the hour news break, I read a headline. Gunman aims to shoot pastor, but then something miraculous happens. A man walked into the church. He was already seated, apparently, in the church, but had his weapon. And by the way, listen, I have no problem with weapons in a New Testament church. I believe the pastor should be armed. I believe the deacon should be armed. I believe that those that have the authority and the rights to carry a weapon need to be armed. I believe that if a person walks in wanting to harm or hurt, there needs to be about a dozen people stand up and nullify and neutralize the situation. That's what I believe in a church. So I'm not condemning this factor, but I'm condemning the fact that here's a man that we don't know what he's motivated by. In fact, the pastor said it was spirits, probably demon spirits, that motivated him. But the point is, so many people today are hearing that the church is bad, the church is wicked, the church, the pastors are no good, and it's because they stand against what is happening in the culture. Because the pastors will stand, those few that will, stand against the immoral, ungodly, unholy LGBTQ sodomite agenda. They will stand against the barbaric butchery that's taking place with the cutting off of healthy body parts that's being pushed by the Biden administration. Those that will stand against it, there's a mindset that they're the wrong ones. We've gotten things totally backwards. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 reminds us that the day will come, and I believe we're at that day, where right will be called wrong, wrong will be called right, night is day is night, etc., 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 the very opposite of what is truth. I believe that this person, when the truth is found out, walked in, or they stood up to try to shoot the pastor, and I've got the video footage of that. It's online if they've not taken it down. The pastor said this guy was just dealing with spirits, and he came in and wanted to shoot somebody. He goes on to talk about that the man that wanted to shoot him said he had voices in his head. That's demonic, ladies and gentlemen. And the demonic aura that's taking over in society today is as a result of what we see happening, immoral, ungodly, unholy, rules, regulations, guidelines, and laws that's proliferating across America as a result of lostness being in control. Jay Sekulow of the ACLJ writes this, attacks on Christians are increasing at a level that was unfathomable just a few years ago. little kids have been banned from bringing Bibles to school and had cross necklaces ripped away. They've been told they can't talk about Jesus. They've been told they can't share Bible verses with other classmates. They've been told they can't even appear to be praying if they're at school. Radical schools are publicly humiliating Christian students across America. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about a four-page article, newsletter from J. Secular's organization. I just read a blurb of it. Should Christians, should churches, should pastors be silent? Do you hear anything? Listen, in your church, do you hear anything like this coming from your pastor? Does the pastor talk about this? Does he bring this subject up? I'm not talking about just focus on issues, but I'm talking about preaching the Word of God, and then as it is applicable, bring it in as an application, an illustration of what's happening in society. The Bible is old, but the Bible is just as current as tomorrow's newspaper when it covers issues that are applicable to where we are and what we need to do as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, if we're going to be what God would have us to be in a nation, in a society that God has given us with the Constitutional Republic and the representative form of government. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time we stop being silent, that we stand up and speak up. This sodomite LGBTQ agenda that's being proposed to be enlarged here in the city of Jacksonville is a major, 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 major issue in my mind. You can be silent about it if you like. You can not talk about it if you think it'll go away. It's only be exacerbated because of the silence of Christians. I believe I have Raymond on the line. Raymond, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you so much. Good to hear from you.
Yes, thank you for taking this, this issue up on the air today about the hate crimes law. I just wanted to try to give my little update. I'll share a few things and be brief. I'm out working, so. But I really appreciate trying to get the word out. For the listeners, I'm the president of Biblical Concepts Ministries. We've tried to put the word out upon hearing about this bill being filed, and you're one of the few that's taking this up to get the word out, so we appreciate that. I spoke to Councilman Nick Howland. I happened to be at a meeting last week with him, who's a Rhino Republican, and he basically just tried to brush it off like, oh, this is just the bill sponsor who's a liberal. I'm going to get into the telling you about who the bill sponsor is. But he tried to pass it off as, oh, this is just a meaningless culture war, no big deal, I'm not going to say anything and whatever. And, so that's their mindset. Of course, he was totally full of it. So I sit and let him talk and basically, hang himself with that, because that's just totally false. But at any rate, I want to share about the bill sponsor and a little bit about what's going on. Now, I read this hate crimes bill. I'm not a lawyer, and sometimes these things get really difficult to understand. You're reading pages of just this legal ease words. And I know Dr. Shepard, you're much better at that than I am. But I think what the sponsors are going to try, the propaganda that you're going to hear with this, is that this isn't an attack on free speech. That's right off the bat, that's what they tried to say. Okay, the bill sponsor already did an interview. I've posted it on our Biblical Concepts Facebook page, all the email and the information. You can go back and look at the news article. And that's what they're trying to push. Oh, we're not about, you can say whatever you want. But if you they're trying to act like it's just a physical crime. And I can't say 100% that I just very quickly read over the bill, don't fully understand it. But this is what we know they do. Everything is incremental. In February of 2017, they passed the HRO. Now, just a few years later, they're coming back with the hate crimes bill. And then the next thing is in a year or two, they're going, oh, the hate crimes bill, now we have to put teeth to it. You can't speak this stuff. And then all of a sudden, the church and speaking the Bible is illegal, just like you're seeing in Canada and Europe and all these other things. We see all the slews that you've already covered over the years, all these lawsuits of so-called hate crimes, and the baker couldn't bake the cake for the same-sex wedding, and all of this stuff. So that's what's happening here. But let me just quickly tell your listeners about the bill sponsor. This is coming from a guy named Jimmy Peluso, who, well, he just changed all the district numbers around. I think it's Council District 7, but it represents like Ortega, Riverside, Avondale, you know, Murray Hill, which is a very pro, the number two pro LGBT area. That this councilman, he tried to run 4 years prior and lost, thankfully, but so he's on the council now. He is one of the three. There's 19 council members. He's one of three openly homosexual men on the city council.
Right.
So he's here and he's coming with a vengeance to push this hate crimes to make, you know, our belief or speech illegal is what he wants to do. Now, he, Jimmy Peluso, I want everybody to know that, Councilman Jimmy Peluso, I believe it's District Number 7. He also, guess what? Oh, he happens to be now, at least since he's got elected, he is an employee of none other than ViStar Bank. What's the deal with ViStar? ViStar's bank is headed by a CEO who's a radical homosexual, one of the most evil, vile, vicious homosexual people pushing this stuff, who is literally funding child grooming organization Jasmine. Okay? Now, let me tell another quick story about that. It's very ironic, but also just last week, I happened to attend a press conference with Governor DeSantis. He was signing two really good bills, and one of them had to do with financial stuff and credit unions and whatnot. So the press conference happened to be held at ViStar. Now, I'm sure the governor's unaware of the CEO or whatever. It was the first time that I actually met and saw the CEO. I didn't meet him and shake his hand. I stayed away from him, but he was in the room and I saw him and he spoke. And it you know, knowing who he is, what he does, he's the biggest donor of Jasmine, pushing all kinds of funding. I mean, it's just Jasmine posts his picture almost several times a week because he's at their functions and pushing. When I realized and I saw the guy in person, you can see, I mean, he's extremely evil. You know, he's just a complete homosexual.
Right, Raymond, let me jump in just a moment, too. Yes. Not only funding Jasmine, but through those two that are married, the heads of ViStar, married to each other, have adopted, I believe, one or two little boys, and mm-hmm. They've also funded tens of thousands of dollars to the local school board for the sodomite lifestyle to be taught in the classroom. And most parents are not even aware that that has been happening, that it's going on, that they continue to fund that. It is, we're witnessing the undermining of the moral ethical foundation, and when it comes to what the city council is doing, we ought to hold them responsible, and every Christian, conservative, patriot, everyone that's concerned about morals, everyone that's concerned about the destruction of the values, need to recognize that this bill, if it is passed, if it becomes law, it's not just, Raymond, let me touch on this and then you can finish. It's not just what the bill says, it's then how it will be interpreted and promulgated by the General Counsel's office as to the nuances of what can be done then as far as meting out punishment. For example, you might have said something, but it's the way you said it. You might have said something, but you really meant something else. You might have done something, but you really had a heart of hatred for that person, and therefore we're going to punish you, et cetera, et cetera. Now go ahead with your thoughts.
Well, I'm getting on the rant for ViStar. I'll just say this one last thing about that and get back to the whole point. But not only was it he at issue, I mean, when you meet this guy, you see how evil he is. I mean, he just carries himself like an extremely childish pervert, really, in a way. But anyway, as we waited in the lobby to go upstairs to this press conference, it was early in the morning, so it was in the 8 o'clock hour, right when all the employees were coming in. And you would be surprised. I mean, I literally saw the most unbelievable sight of this man dressed as a woman. I can't even describe it. It was just insane what this poor soul and individual looked like. that was coming in there as an employee to work at their building. So that's what they're hiring down there. But anyway, to get back to the point of the bill, you're exactly right. What you just said is what's going to happen with this bill is this now will give the city of Jacksonville to say, well, you said this, and so, well, now you might be, this is implying physical harm, so now we're charging you with a hate crime. And this is very serious, and it's coming. It's not coming. It's here, and we're trying to wake people up. Get involved. Go to COJ.net. Actually, they changed it. I think it's COJ.net will still take you there. It's like Jacksonville.gov now. Click on City Council. The public, what do you call it? You know, the public's opportunity to speak, the public hearing, is 1 week from today. So it's not today, but next Tuesday at 5 o'clock at City Hall. You better go down there. You better drag your pastor, and you better come and speak against it.
Raymond,
and that's all I have.
Raymond, I'm thankful you took time to call in. Let's say this also, Raymond. Where did you post that they our listeners can go to, read the bill, read the information, and then again tell our listeners how they can reach their city council person?
Yeah. Everything you need to know, the gist of what the bill is. You can read the actual. I think it's a 9-page bill. You can see the news story. Contact City Council, all that actually posted on both our Facebook pages, Biblical Concepts Ministries, or the Let's Face the Issues page. You'll see it. It says about the hate crimes. You click it, and everything is there. You can click it and open it and read it. So please go to the Let's Face the Issues Facebook page.
Very good. Well, Raymond, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy
thank
schedule
you.
To give us that information, and you have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about asking a question today, an issue today. Should the church be silent? Should we comply with what is the woke cultural mindset that's being promulgated and pushed upon us? We're witnessing and watching these things, ladies and gentlemen, taking place at a rapid pace, and it seems to me, don't know about you, seems to me that there's silence in our pulpits, silence in our churches, silence from Christians, silence from conservatives in relationship to what is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, today the woke culture with its, I call it the repressive ideas, appear to have infected our churches, infected many, if not most, of our pastors across our great nation. And yet we're seeing churches closing. We're seeing churches merging with other churches. We're seeing the falling away today as never before. And I think it's time that we regain the momentum and the strength and the underpinning and the foundation that God's Word requires us to have as Christians, as conservatives in America today. Many of the pastors in our pulpits are silent. Listen, as pastors, we must not bow to the crowds. We must not bend to society norms. Remember, the crowds, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we can't bend or bow to the crowds. Go back in your scripture. The crowds demanded crucify Jesus. The large crowd said, release Barabbas. Remember when the 12 spies, Numbers chapter 13 and 14, when the 12 spies went out, ladies and gentlemen, to spy out the land. They were told to do so. They were told to go out, spy out the land. Spy out is the term that was used. That is, surveil the land. Go into the promised land, surveil it. Come back and give us a report. I call it the majority report, the minority report. The minority report says that we can possess the land. Majority report, 10 spies said we can't. Because there are giants in the land. They listen, all 12 of them saw the same land. All 12 of them saw the same giants. All 12 of these spies that had gone out saw the same pitfalls, the problems, the difficulties, and the great harvest of crops and the fruit, etc., etc. But they came back. Rather than going in and possessing the land, as God said for them to do, 10 came back in and said, we can't. 2 said, we can. And ladies and gentlemen, as a result of the majority, the crowd ruling, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And may I say to you today, I'm concerned of seeing the replay of that in the society in which we're living today, where the crowds are saying, the hue and cry from the crowds, from the cities around the nation, they're saying that the church must bow, the church must bend, the church must be silent. And many of the pastors are saying the same thing because the pastors are embracing the Sodomite lifestyle. If you're a pastor and you're doing that today, shame on you. God will judge what you're doing in relationship to not complying with His word. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're in a church like that, find a church where there's a pastor that's got a spine or a backbone to preach and teach the truth of the Word of God with love, but warning of the dangers of the demise of the church as a result of letting the woke culture come into the church rather than vice versa. I believe Lisa's on the line. Lisa, go with your question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. I have so many comments because the evil is progressing extremely fast. And so I guess the main point is that I'm so appreciative for you and the callers on this broadcast, because I'm going to be at that city council next week. It's going to be my first, but it's not going to be my last. And I'm going to bring my Bible, and I'm going to bring my Constitution pocket guide, and I'm going to remind them that we are a nation under God, and our Constitution is law. They are not lawmakers. They cannot tell us to bow down to sodomites. They can, but we don't have to listen. And that's the point God is making. I will strengthen you, He says. I will strengthen you when you stand for me. So I pray that everybody will be there because it's that important. And I was at the Liberty Caucus last night, and it was a sheriff that reminded us what the Constitution is. And that is the law. And you can hear my grandson, who is 10 months old, and I
Amen.
Won't stop.
Amen. Good for you. May your tribe increase. That's the kind of spirit we need. That's the kind of fundamental, foundational values that we need to cling to. That's what we need to say and do. And Lisa, may I say to you, thank you for your call. Thank you so much for your stand. And may all of our listeners hear what you're saying. Lisa, I believe that we have been silent too long. I believe Christians have been asleep at the wheel too long. I believe our churches have been embracing culture too long. I believe it's time that we have revival, and revival starts by getting in the Word of God. Revival doesn't just mean somebody gets saved. That's wonderful. But revival means the ones that claim they're saved are revived and will stand and be salt and light that God's called us to be. And I believe that's needed in society today, in America more than ever in my lifetime, and I'm still under 100. What do you say, Lisa?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I hear that the pastors have not done their job. I add to that we Christians have not done ours. We are the body of Christ. It's not the building, it's the people. And
yes.
So we, as the people of Christ, the body, have to unify and get out there.
Absolutely. That is... I call it the salt's no good unless it gets out of the shaker. And if we're salt, we need to get out of the shaker, and we need to be out into the world. So, Lisa, thank you so much for your call. God bless you, and may we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe is vital for us to understand. Should the church comply? Should we be silent? Should we simply comply? Should we embrace the culture? Should we embrace what's being said and done, as we see with the legislation that's being promulgated here in Duval County, in the city of Jacksonville, that will make it illegal for us to say what the Word of God says? Ladies and gentlemen, in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and following, it is very, very clear, and I'll not take time to read it, but I'll just give you an overview of Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and following. You see, the condemnation that is revealed, it is the condemnation of the reprobate mind. First of all, we see in verse 18 through 20 what I call, they reject the Word of God. Secondly, they rebel against the way of God. We find that taking place, ladies and gentlemen, with the mindset that says God loves everybody, all love is of God, and the sodomite LGBTQ community and the push for that now with the city council members that are pushing this seem to have the mindset, the attitude that they can legislate morality, but it would be their morality, immorality, that they want to legislate to force all of us to comply. The Bible says in the Romans chapter 1 text, verse 19 and following, we see the cause of that reprobate mind. They refuse the way of God, verse 19 and following. They rely on godlessness rather than godly love and godly obedience. But the consequences, ladies and gentlemen, is the key to what you find in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and following. The consequences, God gave them up to uncleanliness, that is sinful lust, according to verse 24. God gave them up to vile affections, verse 26. And then God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And ladies and gentlemen, the word gave them up and gave them over. It's the little Greek word ballo, B-A-L-L-O, means to release. God has cast them away, released them to vile affections, uncleanness, and a reprobate mind. So if God has done that, why should we as Christians somehow, some way, believe that we've got to embrace it? And I don't say we hate these people. We need to love them, recognize that God loved them. But if I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. So the truth is that if a person lives in this lifestyle and mindset, they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. I didn't say that. God's word said it. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we as Christians, as churches, as those that believe the word of God, that would take a stand on truth and not continue to bow and bend and surrender the ship, as I call it, to the lost, darkened society in which we're living in. We find, ladies and gentlemen, when it goes back to what is happening on a national basis, we need to understand what is taking place, especially with the silence and the complicity of the church. Could it be today that because of many of our so-called churches that we've chosen to appeal to the world with the pop-up messages and the pop-up music and the pop-up preachers? You might say, well, what does that mean? It's voodoo theology, as I call it, joined together with all of the non-theological, non-biblical thought. Many of the pulpits are preaching cotton candy theology. It tastes good, but it's not filling. They have the feel-good theology. Makes you feel good, but it will not change your life. And altogether, it is pop-up voodoo theology, ladies and gentlemen. If you go because of the rock and roll music, if you go because it makes you feel good, there's a problem, because the Word of God was never designed to make you feel good, but to bring about conviction that we might submit and surrender our lives under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, I believe, that rather than embracing the sodomite LGBTQ agenda, I believe God's going to judge our great nation today. We see the earthquakes. We see the floods. We see the tornadoes. We see the hurricanes. We see the Islamic terrorist uprising across America. That's not just by happenstance, ladies and gentlemen. I believe God is carrying this out. God is allowing it because of our turning our backs on God, and the judgment begins at the house of God. I believe that we need to, as Christians, as patriots, as pastors, as conservatives, we need to stand for truth. We need to reject the culture of the world. We need to embrace the Word of God and say, God, we're going to obey you, whatever you have for us. We're going to be obedient. It goes back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, confess their sins, seek my face, then I'll heal their lands. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation needs healing, and the only answer is to turn back to God, reject the way of the world, say yes to Jesus Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Is it okay to buy friends? Well, Jesus says yes.
True Commentary with Stu Epperson, author of the book, Last Words of Jesus.
Luke chapter 16, there's this parable.